जय राधा महाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीर वन चारी यमुन तीर वन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रज भूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की यमुनमयी की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की अलि गोपावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पति गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। For my humble obeisances to all the devotees who are assembled here, I seek blessings from His Holiness Chinnamani Swami Maharaj, who is affectionately present here to bless me and empower me to speak a few words in glorification of the holy name of Krishna and Vrindavan Dham. Yesterday evening, we have heard from His Holiness Chaitanya Swami Maharaj and His Grace Bhagavan Prabhu few words on preparing our mood, preparing our consciousness to be here for the next 1 week and nourishing ourselves, nourishing the best part of ourselves by chanting the holy names of Krishna, by hearing Harikatha from Srimad Bhagavatam and trying to be in the best possible mood in this holy dham. Continuing the same mood of preparing our mood for the next 5-6 days here at Govardhan, I'll also share a few things from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada says, one cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket, whether it is flight ticket or a train ticket or a bus ticket. One cannot enter Vrindavan. Yes, physically one may make one's entry in Vrindavan. Physically, one's body may be present in Vrindavan. But to be in Vrindavan means to be in the right consciousness of being in Vrindavan. There are so many devotees whose pastimes
described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and many other Vaishnava literatures. Many of these devotees never visited Vrindavan. Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. Did he visit Vrindavan? The best example of the Hari names of Krishna, chanting the Hari names of Krishna. And similarly many other great personalities. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to come to Vrindavan. As soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, the first thought that ever appeared in his mind is, let me go to Vrindavan. I want to go to Vrindavan. So he went. He was walking on the way. And suddenly Nityananda Prabhu intervenes. And he says, before even he comes in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu meets some little cowherd boys there. He notices that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going in the direction of Vrindavan, and definitely Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will ask these little boys, cowherd boys, where is the way to Vrindavan. Then Nityananda Prabhu prepared their consciousness to speak a lie, to misdirect the supreme director, Lord Chaitanya. Nityananda Prabhu went to this little boys and said, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks you the way to Vrindavan, show this pathway besides this river Ganga. Because he is in ecstasy, he doesn't even understand what is day and what is night. he can't even discriminate between which direction is he going, left or right. He will believe you. Just say this. That's all you need to do. So he kind of told these boys and he left. He just moved aside. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in his ecstasy. He was chanting this beautiful shloka from Avanti Brahman's Bhikshu Gita. There is a song in Srimad Bhagavatam called Bhikshu Gita. Bhikshu Gita means the song sang by a beggar or a mendicant, Avanti Brahman. So Avanti Brahman, of course, that's a big story. I will share that later. But the shloka of Avanti Brahman here is, Etam sa asthaya paratmanishtha adhyasitam purvatam irmaharshibhir aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukunda gharinisheva yaiva. Etam sa asthaya paratmanishtha. So the life of a sannyasi, or any devotee for that matter, is paratmanishtha. Means to be very rooted in Paratma, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Lord Krishna. Nishtha, to be very fixed up in one's devotion towards the Supreme Lord. Adhyasitam purvatamair maharshibhir. And how can we effectively do that? How can we effectively be fixed up in our devotion to the Supreme Lord Krishna? Purvatamair maharshibhir. The path of being fixed up in our devotion to Krishna is shown to us by great devotees. When we follow in their footsteps, when we consider them as role models, and when we genuinely, sincerely try to follow the example set by them, that is the real Paratmanishtha. Right? We can do it effectively only by following great souls. Mahajano yena gata sabantha. Etam sa asthaya paratmanishtha adhyasitam purvatamair maharshibhir aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukunda ghrinisheva yaiva. So by following in the by being fixed up in my devotion towards the Supreme Lord Mukunda, following the footsteps of great souls, I will be able to easily cross over this ocean of nisayans. Tamo mukundangri. Aham tarishyami durantaparam. Aham tarishyami means I will be able to cross over this ocean of material existence. Durantaparam, although it is very unsurpassable, it's not that easy to cross this material ocean. Still, it becomes very easy when you take shelter of Krishna following the footsteps of great devotees. This is the meaning of the shloka, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was constantly reciting on his way to Vrindavan. So, Mahaprabhu was reciting this shloka. Although he is the Supreme Lord, he is acting as a devotee. And he is teaching us the life of a devotee, how the life of a devotee should be. He is chanting the shloka, beautiful shloka. Although it is spoken by some devotee in the past, Avanti Brahman, whose story Krishna describes in Bhagavatam. See, this Avanti Brahman was a miserly person at one point. But later he took shelter of Krishna. So whatever may be our background, however haunting our past may be, we can have a promising future when we take shelter of Krishna, Sharanagati. Our past may have been very rough, very sinful, very awkward, very humiliating. Still, if we take shelter of Krishna, we can overcome that haunting past, we can have a promising future. Right? Avanti Brahman story is like that. So this Avanti Brahman is so special that Krishna is personally narrating his story to his devotee Uddhava. What can be a more confidential or better conversation than that happens between Krishna and his supreme devotee Uddhava? Uddhava is considered non-different from himself by Krishna. So Krishna and Uddhava, these two are discussing. Krishna and Uddhava are discussing. It can be very, very serious conversation, right? It's not a casual conversation between two kids who are fighting for a toy. The Supreme Lord is discussing with his sincere devotee, exalted devotee. In that conversation, Krishna speaks this shloka, Avanti Brahman shloka. Etamsa asthaya paratmanishta. He speaks this Bhikshu Gita, this whole song. Then that same Supreme Lord Krishna appears in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he repeats the same shloka. Etamsa asthaya paratmanishta. And what is the meaning of this shloka? We just discussed. To be fixed up in our devotion to the Supreme Lord Mukunda. By following the footsteps of great souls. To be fixed up in our bhakti unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, following the footsteps of great souls is the best way of living life. Mahaprabhu says, and Krishna says. So Mahaprabhu is singing the shloka and then moving towards Vrindavan. Then he saw little boys, discohead boys. And he asked discohead boys, I wish to go to Vrindavan. Can you please tell me the way to Vrindavan? These boys were already trained by Nityananda Prabhu. I said sometime back. Nityananda Prabhu already directed them, prepared them to misdirect Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what did these people do? Go by that way, next to that Ganga. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please chant Hari Hari, Krishna Krishna. And these boys, after misdirecting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of course even before misdirecting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were saying Hari Hari, Krishna Krishna. Right? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt successful. Mahaprabhu considered it a great success on his part to make these boys chant Hare Krishna, chant the holy names of the Lord. Have you seen mothers who have small kids, little kids, maybe 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old? And have you seen kids who don't eat their breakfast? I have seen some mothers, right, in our family. One little girl, she has to go to school and she's not eating breakfast. Mother is in anxiety, so much anxiety. She is too obstinate, very adamant. No, I will not eat. Eat one idli, please. She says, I will not eat even two idlis also. Not two, just one at least you eat. She's not eating. Then finally, mother manages to convince the child and feed a few morsels of food into her mouth, the kid's mouth. And mother felt successful. Finally, I made this kid eat this food. Just like a mother feels successful by making an adamant child take his or her breakfast. Similarly, Krishna or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that mood of being a mother, feels so successful by making us chant the holy names of Krishna. This is our food. Just like if we don't eat food, our body becomes weak, If we don't chant the holy names of Krishna, if we don't hear Harikatha, our soul becomes weak. Already it has been weakened since millions of lifetimes, since time immemorial we have been very weak. The soul has been very weak, exploring material pleasures, living a life filled with false ego. It's already very weak. Now that we got some medicine, we got some diet, holy name of Krishna is the diet. Holy name of Krishna is the medicine. It's a very special medicine. Krishna Katha is medicine. Krishna Katha is diet. Very, very special medicine that even if you consume it more than required, there is no indigestion, there is no side effect. Generally, doctor says morning one tablet, evening one tablet. Before food or after food, daily three tablets. If a patient becomes extra smart and takes the 3 days course in one day only, three threes are nine tablets. I'll take nine tablets in one meal only. What will happen? He will not be cured. He'll be admitted once again in the hospital. So generally medicines in this world are given to patients with a quota, right? You have to eat, you have to consume this medicine at certain periods of time and only this much limited quantity. If you take more than required, you will have some side effects. But this medicine of holy name, you can consume as much as you want. Because this, you can eat like a full meal. You can overeat also, no issue, no indigestion problem. That is the power of this special medicine, Aushadha. We'll discuss about Aushadha a little later. I'll complete the story. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt so successful in making this little cowherd boys chant. Gopala, Govinda, Krishna, Hari, Hari. Then he moved ahead. Then Nityananda Prabhu came in front. Mahaprabhu asked him, "You are also coming to Vrindavan?" Then Nityananda Prabhu said, "Yeah, yes, of course I want to go to Vrindavan along with you." "Oh, very good. How far have you reached?" And Nityananda Prabhu said, "Yeah, we are almost there. See that Yamuna?" And Nityananda Prabhu is showing Ganga to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and saying that it is Yamuna, and Mahaprabhu believes it. Ganga emanated from the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna. But he is unable to recognize what is Ganga and what is Yamuna, because he is playing the role of a devotee absorbed in devotion to Krishna. So when a devotee is in ecstasy, in bhava, a devotee may not be able to recognize what is what, left and right, Yamuna and Ganga, everything is same. So seeing that, seeing Yamuna river, seeing Ganga river, and thinking that she is Yamuna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers a prayer. Chidananda bhano sadananda suno parapriyama patri drava brahma gatri aghanamla vitri jagat kshema dhatri pavitri kriyanno vapurmitra putri. In this way Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers prayers to Yamuna. And then Advaita Acharya comes in a boat and everything is revealed to him. I'm not going to complete the pastime. I am only focusing on the mood of entering Vrindavan. Advaita Acharya comes there and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him, "Advaita, what are you doing in Vrindavan?" Then Advaita Acharya says that, "My dear Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan only. By the causeless mercy of the Lord, you have come to the bank of Ganga." Then Mahaprabhu understood that he has been thoroughly cheated by Nityananda Prabhu. But here the point is, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, and on the way to Vrindavan, he is absorbed in the consciousness of dedicating himself completely to Mukunda Seva. Tamo Mukunda Angharini Seva Yaiva. So the actual mood of entering Vrindavan is a mood of service attitude. I just want to dedicate myself to the service of Krishna. Mukunda Seva. And I want to follow the footsteps of great souls. These are the two points that the shloka reveals. Mahaprabhu is constantly reciting this song. I want to follow in the footsteps of great devotees and I want to dedicate myself to the service of Lord Mukunda. So in this mode, Mahaprabhu is entering Vrindavan, teaching us the actual mode of entering Vrindavan. Then in the beginning I was saying, Prabhupada said that you cannot enter Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. The actual mood and attitude of entering Vrindavan is taught to us by Akrura. Akrura was a minister in Mathura city. Kamsa told Akrura, go to Vrindavan and bring Krishna and Balaram here to Mathura. Why? I want to kill them. With such a malicious plan and intention, Kamsa had sent Akrura, who is a wonderful devotee. And Kamsa also showed a new chariot to Akrura. See, this is very new chariot. Please, take this. Kamsa thought that when Akrura sees a new chariot, he will be very excited to drive. You have seen people who are good at driving. When they see a new car, they want to drive. When a child sees a new toy, he wants to play with the toy. Although there are 10 toys which are old, but he wants to play with that new toy. Even adults also, when you get a new phone, there's a new phone, new model, so and so model. Although they have a phone themselves, they want to explore. How does it look like? What is the specifications? So there is something exciting to explore something new. Anything new gives us some fresh enthusiasm. So Kamsa thought that Akrura will be very excited to drive this new chariot. But actually Akrura is excited to take that new chariot. Not with an excitement to drive in a new chariot, but he thought the chariot which has already been used by Kamsa is not suitable for Krishna and Balaram to travel from Vrindavan to Mathura. So Krishna and Balaram deserve a new chariot. I will take this new chariot and bring them in this new chariot, golden chariot, to Mathura. So with that intention, Akrura accepted. He is Krishna conscious. Even while working under a demonic person like Kamsa, even while following the instructions of this demon Kamsa, still Akrura is thoroughly Krishna conscious. That's what His Holiness Achyutananda Swami Maharaj is trying to guide us during the japa session, guided japa. Are you Krishna conscious? Try to be Krishna conscious while chanting the holy names, while being in the dham, while doing anything. I was reflecting, the mind is going here and there in 10 different ways while chanting the holy names of the Lord. Sometimes the mind thinks about the services that I need to do, the pending activities that I need to execute. Sometimes the mind thinks about some pleasant and unpleasant experience in the past. Sometimes the mind is overwhelmed with some anticipations for the future. What am I going to do in the future? So the mind is bombarded with so many such thoughts and desires and feelings and emotions and attachments and aversions while chanting the holy names of Krishna. This has been my daily experience, I am confessing. But why? Because consciously or unconsciously, an average sadhaka may think that I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. When I am chanting the holy names of the Lord, I am thinking about service. It's a good thing, it's Krishna's service, it's service to Vaishnavas. So what's the point, what's wrong in thinking about service while chanting? One may think like that. But the point is, and some devotees also say that while chanting the names of the Lord, we are only begging for service. What's wrong if we think about service while chanting? Right? Chanting itself is service. While chanting, we are asking Radha and Krishna for service. Oh Radha, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. And I'm thinking about service. Is there anything wrong? The answer, at least I reconciled within myself, Maharaj may correct me, is while serving, we need to be responsible. While carrying out any service to Krishna and Vaishnavas, we need to be very responsible, we need to be dutiful, we need to be committed, we have to do as if we are doing it. But chanting is a time to express our dependence on Krishna. chanting is a time where we need to pray for that empowerment to do that service. Chanting is a time where we must be aware, we must be conscious that we are not the performers of that service, we are not the doers of that service. Only when Krishna sanctions it, only when Krishna empowers us to do it, we will be able to do, otherwise we can't do it. So, let me not think of myself the doer of this service. Yes, doing service is great, but we are not doing. Maharaj was sharing with me in our conversation. Sometimes, one of the greatest obstacles that we might face is the mood of a pen who thinks that I am writing. Right? All of you are taking notes, many of you. You are writing something there. If the pen in your hand thinks that I am writing it, the pen is foolish. Actually, you are writing. The pen is an instrument in your hand. Similarly, when we are serving, we need to be in the consciousness of being an instrument, a tool in Krishna's hand to execute that service, which is meant for the pleasure of Vaishnavas and Guru and Krishna. So, consciously or unconsciously, when I'm thinking of service during japa, I'm in doership mentality. So, Maharaj is very, very kindly, compassionately guiding us to come out of the doership mentality and focus on the holy name. Focus on your prayer to the Lord. So, coming back to the mood of entering Vrindavan, we can't enter Vrindavan without with our own abilities, material abilities. Okay, but we enter Vrindavan when Krishna invites us into Vrindavan, being impressed with our service attitude, being pleased with our mood, Vaishnava mood and Vaishnava character. Then he will give us a real entrance into Vrindavan. So many people have seen Krishna personally, but they could not take advantage of Krishna's darshan. So many people have interacted with Krishna. So many people came to Krishna's dham, but Krishna will reveal his real mercy to someone who has the right attitude, service attitude, humility, gratitude. Akrura is entering Vrindavan. We have seen Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entering Vrindavan with a sincere desire to serve, with a sincere desire to follow the footsteps of great souls. And we are now seeing Akrura entering Vrindavan with a great anticipation, with a feeling of gratitude, with a feeling that I don't deserve to go. You know, on his way he was thinking, Maivam mamadhamasyapi syat eva chyuta darshanam. Adhamasyapi, I am very adhama, I am so fallen, I am so unqualified, I am so disqualified in 100 different ways. Although I am adhama, although I am so fallen, achyuta darshanam, today I am getting achyuta darshana. On the way from Mathura to Vrindavan, which took like almost a day, early morning he started and evening time, when the cows are coming back from the pasturing grounds, Akrura is like, oh, whole day journey. He did not have a share auto to come in 40 minutes or 1 hour. So he was just going on the chariot with some horses. It took whole day journey for him. So he was thinking that today I am going to get this Achyuta Darshanam, the opportunity to see Lord Achyuta. Am I really qualified for it? I am adhama, but still I am getting this opportunity. That means Krishna is merciful. What is the proof that Krishna is merciful? An unqualified, undeserving, fallen soul like me also gets an opportunity to come to Vrindavan. That means Krishna is merciful. We should think like that. If one thinks that I deserve to be in Vrindavan, I am qualified to be in Vrindavan, that's a proof that such a person is not qualified to be in Vrindavan. Right? Physically one may be there, one may be present there, but without the mood of being a servant, without the mood of following the footsteps of great souls, without a mood of gratitude, without a mood of humility where one thinks I am not qualified to be in Vrindavan, one cannot actually enter Vrindavan. Akrura is teaching us this consciousness. Maivam mamadhamasyapi syat eva achyuta darshanam. I am getting achyuta darshana, Allah am adhama. And he reconciles himself. Initially he thought, I am not qualified, I am totally engrossed in material sense enjoyment. How can I ever enter Vrindavan and see Krishna and Balaram personally? Internally he is excited, but he is also thinking that I am not qualified for this privilege. This is such a special privilege, I am not qualified for it at all. But he felt, after a few moments, he felt that, let me keep aside all my conceptions of being unqualified. Yes, I am unqualified in 100 different ways, but let me not be overwhelmed with these feelings of being unqualified. Sometimes in the name of humility, people become so self-absorbed, self-obsessed, self-infatuated, and they think how fallen they are. They think how inferior they are. This inferiority complex or self-pity or self-absorption is not humility, by the way. When we are really humble, although we are convinced that we are unqualified, we are willing to accept a spiritual privilege when it comes on its own, with the Lord's mercy. How can I reject this mercy that comes to me? I am not qualified. If I wait till I get qualified, I will never get this privilege, this spiritual opportunity to serve the Lord for the rest of eternity probably. So when it comes, let me accept it. So at one point Akrura felt that, let me keep aside my conception of being unqualified. Let me accept this opportunity that Krishna has given me. Through Kamsa, sometimes Krishna gives us a spiritual privilege, an opportunity to serve him, even through a materialistic person also, even through a demoniac person also. However, Akrura got this opportunity to see Krishna through Kamsa. Can you just imagine a demoniac person like Kamsa calling a devotee, go for Vrindavan Yatra in this new chariot? Right? He's facilitating Achyuta Darshanam. Kamsa happens to facilitate Akrura's travel to Vrindavan by booking a new chariot for him and seeing Krishna and Balaram there. Akrura felt grateful even to Kamsa also. Many people are instrumental in bringing us to Vrindavan, bringing us to the path of Krishna consciousness. We should always be grateful to them. That gratitude is not different from humility. So when we are humble, we are grateful. When we are not humble, we can't be grateful to whatever assistance that others give us. I understand it's easier said than done. Oftentimes we may get distracted from this mode of humility, mode of gratitude. But these are some opportunities for us to remind ourselves in a very nice ambience, in the association of very nice devotees. We can be in our best mood, best spirits. I'm experiencing that here. So once I go somewhere else, back to work, then other thoughts may just get bombarded, and then I may get distracted from this mode of humility or mode of gratitude. But now there's a nice facility given, opportunity given to us in the association of devotees to remind ourselves, yes, you need to be grateful, you need to be humble. So Akrura is having this beautiful consciousness that he was not hating Kamsa. When Kamsa instructed Akrura, go and get Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura, you know what Akrura said? I mean, internally he was thinking that, oh, you are inviting your death? Fine. I will become an instrument of your death. Internally he was thinking like that. Externally, you know what he said? He said, although I have made meticulous plan to avoid your death and kill your so-called enemy, Krishna and Balaram. Krishna is no one's enemy, by the way. Kamsa may think that Krishna is an enemy, but Krishna is no one's enemy. Krishna is the supreme well-wisher. So Akrura told Kamsa, although you have made your meticulous plan to kill Krishna by bringing him to Mathura, there is a destiny which you cannot escape. If you are destined to die in their hands, he will die, whether he comes to Mathura or you go to Vrindavan, or you both stay there also, but still may die because you are destined to die. But you are the king, I am the minister. It's my duty to follow your instruction. Let me just follow. Right? Karmanyavadhikaraste. Mafaleshu kadachana, in one sense. Anyway, Sakrura received that instruction, and on the way, he is focusing on the best part of the situation. Instead of meditating on Kamsa's bad qualities, Kamsa's evil plans, Kamsa's poor consciousness, Kamsa's foolishness, he was meditating on how Kamsa acted as an instrument in giving Akrura an opportunity to see Krishna today. This is what Akrura is teaching us. On the way to Vrindavan, he is grateful to even a demoniac person, because the demoniac person is acting as an instrument in Krishna's hands to give a spiritual privilege to Akrura. Akrura never came to Vrindavan. Akrura never came to Vrindavan to see Krishna and Balaram. This is his first darshan of Krishna. But he got it through Kamsa. Krishna can show mercy upon us in any way. So Akrura is grateful. Akrura felt he's unqualified, I don't deserve it. And Akrura felt that, let me keep aside all my conceptions of being unqualified for this privilege, but let me accept this privilege. Same mood is exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj also in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam. In the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, so many devatas, brahmarshis, rajarshis, devarshis, vidyadharas, kinnaras, kimpurushas, vishnuparshadas, brahma, shiva, narada, manus, prajapatis, all these great personalities offered prayers to Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev is very, very angry, even after killing Hiranyakashipu, sitting on his throne. All these devotees are praying to Narasimhadev, please calm down, please cool down, you don't have to be angry anymore. Thank you very much, we are very grateful to you. But Narasimhadev is not getting pacified only. Then Lakshmi Devi was requested. So Mother Lakshmi saw Narasimhadev and said, I have never seen my husband in such a fierce form, fierce mood. I don't think I will be able to pacify him now. That's by the influence of Leela Shakti, Lakshmi Devi said like that. She also restrained herself. Then Brahma came to Prahlad and said, Prahlad, the Lord appeared for you. Only you can pacify him. Go. Go and offer prayers and pacify Lord Narasimhadev. Then Prahlad moved ahead. The very first statement Prahlad said was, Brahma dayasura gana munayotha siddha sattvaikata nagatayo vachasam pravahaihi naradhitum puru ganair adhuna pipipru kim toshtumarhati same harirugrajatehe. Prahlad Maharaj is saying that Brahmadaya Suragana Manayo Atha Siddha, great personalities like Brahma and other Devata Suraganas, Munayo, so many great Munis, Siddha, so many perfected beings try to offer prayers to you. They try to appease you, but they miserably failed. How glorious they are. Sattvaikata Nagatayo Vachasam Pravahaihi. Sattvaikata Nagatayo, they are in Sattvagun. And me, I am a Rajugun Tamugun. Because I am demon, Prahlad Maharaj is born in a demoniac dynasty, son of the greatest demon Hiranyakashipu. He said that, he felt that I am in Rajogun and Tamogun, but these Devatas and Siddhas and Munis are in Sattvagun. But their Sattvagun also did not please you. Vachasam pravahaihi. Vachasam means their words, pravaha means a flow. Vachasam pravahaihi means their words are coming like a flow, seamless stream of nectar. They're good at their poetry. They're good at Sanskrit grammar. I'm a 5-year-old kid. I don't have Vachasam Pravahahi. Vachasam Pravahahi basically is eloquence. Sometimes when we are speaking, we may not be able to construct a sentence and seamlessly speak. English is not our first language. I speak in South Indian English. So sometimes we may have to search for words. We may not be so eloquent. But all these devatas and siddhas and munis are eloquent. Vachasam prabhahaihi. Prahlad Maharaj is saying that I don't have the eloquence of these great souls. And I don't have the sattva, goodness of these great souls. I speak my own broken words. And I am in tamogun and rajogun. But still, I am here to offer prayers to you. If you think you are unqualified, if you are convinced that you are unqualified, and if you are convinced that they are more qualified than you, why are you standing here? Prahlad Maharaj, if somebody questions him, he has an answer. He has a perfect answer. Their sattvagun did not please you. Their eloquence did not please you. Because sattvagun and eloquence cannot please you anyways. You cannot impress the Lord with sattvagun and your eloquent speaking capabilities. You cannot please the Lord anyways. And he gives one big list, one dozen material qualifications that are not actually qualifications or disqualifications to please the Lord. Manye dhana bhijana rupa tapashrito jaha tejaha prabhava balapaurusha buddhi yoga naradhanaya hi bhavanti parasya pumso bhaktyatu tosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Manye dhana, material qualifications are neither qualifications nor disqualifications to please the Lord. The Lord is not impressed with all these external qualifications, material qualifications. Bhaktya tu tosha bhagavan gajayothapaya. The Lord is pleased only with bhakti. So do you have bhakti, Prahlad? Prahlad Maharaj says, yes, I have bhakti. How can a bhakta claim that I have bhakti? He says, it's not my bhakti. My Guru Maharaj, my spiritual master, Narada Muni has unlimited bhakti. By his unlimited compassion, he gave me one little drop of bhakti. So with that bhakti, as my little qualification, and more than that, with your mercy, as my greatest empowerment, I have come here to offer prayers to you, O Lord. This is Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness. He said, although I am unqualified in 100 different ways, I know, my dear Lord, your mercy is greater than my disqualification. Krishna's mercy is greater than our disqualification. In that mood, Prahlad Maharaj is offering prayers to Narasimhadev. In that mood, Akrura entered Vrindavan. Although I am not qualified to enter Vrindavan, some great devotees, the Supreme Lord is giving me this opportunity to enter Vrindavan. In our case, some great devotees are giving us opportunity to enter Vrindavan. But in Akrura's case, one demon gave the opportunity. He's grateful. Right? So he said that I am not qualified, but still, he gives an example also. Sometimes somebody, say, he's drowning in the ocean, drowning in the river. He doesn't know swimming also. He's being tossed by the waves of this river. He's about to drown in this big, huge river. I mean, there is no hope to survive. There is no hope to live. But sometimes, if he's fortunate enough, the waves of the river themselves will throw him on the shore, right? And he'll be protected. So although I am like that unfortunate soul who is under the rule of Kamsa, Kamsa himself is throwing me to Vrindavan, or pushing me to Vrindavan. Okay, go. It's like the waves that are supposed to kill the life of this personality are throwing him on the, are pushing him on the shore. Similarly, Kamsa, who is supposed to harm Akrura, is sending him to Vrindavan. Right? So, Kala Nadya, time sometimes favors us. So, we need to, even when we come to Vrindavan, that's fine, it's perfectly fine. So, even if we come to Vrindavan, we should not think that we are qualified to enter Vrindavan. I am qualified, therefore I got it. Just like somebody enters a university. I have written this GRE exam or TOEFL exam or GATE exam or MCET exam, this exam, that exam. JEE, so many competitive exams are there in India. I don't know about American universities. So even if somebody clears all these exams and they qualify themselves to enter that university. But Vrindavan is Bhakti University. And in this university, all toppers are there in all streams. Right? There are some very, very top colleges, right? Whether in electrical engineering or computer science engineering or mechanical engineering or civil engineering and all kinds of engineering disciplines, the toppers enter that college, whether it's IIT or IISc or big colleges. So toppers enter that college. Similarly, the toppers of Bhakti University are there in Vrindavan. The topper of Vatsalya department, Yashoda Mata. The topper in Madhurya department, Madhurya Rasa, Srimati Radharani. And the toppers of Sakya department, all the Gopas of Vrindavan. So all top class devotees are there. All the best devotees in all the rasas are present in Vrindavan. And we are given entrance into that university. One should be utterly feel that one is disqualified, unqualified to come there, but still one should accept that opportunity because it's coming by mercy. We may not try GRE, TOEFL, this and that to enter this university, but the mercy is the greater qualification. Of course, we have to do our sadhana, no doubt. We have to do our best in doing various aspects of our sadhana, swadhyaya, seva. But mercy is important. So mercifully, some devotees and the Supreme Lord Krishna himself gives us an opportunity. And if we think we have acquired this opportunity to enter Vrindavan by our own qualification, by our own sadhana, by our own tapasya, by our own endeavor or desire or prayer, we are not up to the mark in our consciousness. So we should think that Krishna, although he saw some shortcomings in me, although he saw some defects in me, he has been liberal with me. He is very liberal. He just gave some extra grace marks, concession, and then gave me entrance into Vrindavan. Please come. I understand. You have 100 defects. If I evaluate you in that perspective, I think for the rest of eternity you will never be able to come to Vrindavan. Come, come. It's okay. Oh, really? Like, let me come. In that mood, we come here. So, Akrura is convinced. Adhamasyapi. I'm engrossed in, I forgot the Sanskrit, but there are very beautiful shlokas. I'm adhama. I'm very unqualified. I'm so engrossed in sense enjoyment. Still, Krishna is so merciful that he brought me to Vrindavan by sending his grace through Kamsa. So this is the mode of coming to Vrindavan. What's the mode of being in Vrindavan? What do we get in Vrindavan first? Once we come there, what do we get? In the Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Prabhudhananda Saraswati says, Sri Krishna ikanta bhavam kvanu sakala jano vashyam apnotya yatnat Krishna syascharya sima parama bhagavatah kutra leelartha murti Kutratya Krishna Padam Bhuja Bhajana Mahananda Samraja Kashta Bharatar Vakshya Rahasyam Srunusakalamitam Srila Vrindavanetra. Very beautiful shloka. This shloka by Prabodhananda Saraswati teaches us what we get in Vrindavan. What are the transcendental gifts that we receive when we come to Vrindavan in the right consciousness, when we are in Vrindavan in right consciousness. Sri Krishna Ekanta Bhavam. Sri Krishna Ekanta Bhavam. Ekanta means Ekeha Krunandana. Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. Ekam. Ekam means like one pointed attention. Sri Krishna Ekanta Bhavam means when we enter Vrindavan Dham in the right consciousness, when we stay here in the right mood, then we get one-pointed devotion to Krishna. How many of us want it? Yeah, we know we are not qualified, but still we want it. at least we should desire to desire it. If we don't have the desire, let's desire to develop the desire for Krishna ekanta bhavam. Even while practicing sadhana bhakti, an innate into sadhana, or a neophyte or beginner, may not aspire for this, unfortunately. Even bhakti can be done in multiple modes. Unfortunately, even those who are practicing sadhana bhakti may not aspire for ekanta bhavam for Krishna, but they may aspire for name, fame, prestige, power, position, privileges, control over others. What to do? Maya is so powerful. To even genuinely desire for ekanta bhavam for Krishna is a very rare desire, even in the heart of a practicing devotee. Heart is filled with hundreds of desires. And that one desire, I want only Krishna, nothing else. And I will do whatever is required to get that Krishna alone. That's very difficult. At least I can speak for myself, it's very difficult to desire only Krishna. We are here to develop that desire to desire for Krishna only. If I don't have that desire, I don't have exclusive desire to receive Krishna's grace and to love Krishna without any distractions and deviations. Now let me try to develop that desire in the association of devotees who have that desire. Right? Sri Krishna ekanta bhavam kvanu sakala jano avashyam apnotya yatnat. Sakala jano, whoever comes to Vrindavan in the right mood, avashyam means undoubtedly, we will be bestowed with ekanta bhavam for Krishna, one-pointed devotion for Krishna. Sri Krishna ekanta bhavam kvanu sakala jano avashyam apnotya yatnat. Avashyam apnoyati ayatnat. See the promise given. Ayatnat. Yatna means you endeavor. You try for it. Ayatnat means effortlessly. Without you putting so much hard efforts, still you will get ekanta bhavam for Krishna. By the grace of great souls. Sri Krishna ekanta bhavam kvanu sakala jano avashyam apnoyati ayatnat. Krishnasyaascharya seema parama bhagavatah kutra leelartha murti. Ekanta bhavam towards whom? Towards Krishna. And what is the speciality of Krishna? He is ascharya seema. Seema means limit. Ascharya seema means limit of wonders. Krishna is the abode of unlimited wonders. Krishnasyaascharya seema parama bhagavatah kutra leelartha murti. He is leelartha murti. Right? He is an abode of unlimited leelas, pastimes. And we get access to that personality. We become obsessed, we become infatuated to this personality, Krishna, by coming to Vrindavan. That's why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri, he has certain bhava, certain mood. But on the way to Vrindavan, it has become 100 times more. When he entered Vrindavan, it has become a million times. Right? Not to minimize any other dham, any other place. But for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this mode of loving Krishna as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan is the topmost. Some devotees are there. Yes, they love Krishna as Dwarkadhish. Some devotees love Krishna as Lord Vishnu, four-handed form. We respect all their devotion. Hanumanji loves Krishna in the form of Lord Ramachandra. That's amazing, right? All these are multiple forms of the same Lord, and different devotees love the Lord in different moods and different forms. We are not here to compare one devotee with another devotee and feel a sense of superiority. Compare, I'm Krishna devotee, I'm better than the devotee of someone else, some other form. That's not the point here. But when we are following this sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, our worshipable deity is Vrajendra Nandan Krishna. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanaya Taddham Vrindavanam Ramya Kachitupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradara Napara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us five important things. Number one, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanaya. Our Aradhya Bhagavan, our supreme worshipable deity is Vrajeshatanaya, the son of the king of Vrindavan, that is Krishna. Krishna is a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, is our worshipable deity. And when the gopis of Vrindavan saw Krishna as a Rajakumar, a prince in Kurukshetra, they are not very happy. Same Krishna is there, but attire is different. Ambience is different. So Gaudiya Vaishnavas are those who try to adopt the mood of the Vrajavasis, the gopis, and love Krishna as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Not that like a Sahajaya we prematurely enter some deeper realms of Vraja Bhava, but that's ultimately our aspiration, right? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized that our Aradhya Bhagavan is Vrajeshatanaya Krishna. Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam. Many other dhams are there, all glories. But for someone who is following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our supreme spiritual abode is Vrindavan. Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam. And our role models are the gopis of Vrindavan. Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadhu vargenaya kalpita. The greatest upasana, the greatest worship of Krishna is done by the gopis of Vrindavan. They are the best worshippers of Krishna. They are there in Vrindavan. We are here to beg for their mercy. Brahma came begging for their mercy. Uddhava came begging for their mercy. Right? And how do we get it? How do you get more information about it? Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Babalam. So we get that information in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's the purpose of organizing this retreat in Vrindavan, to nourish ourselves with the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, as emphasized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Pumartho Mahan. And ultimately, the aim is Prema, love, loving Krishna, following the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this planet to give us that Prema, Vraja Prema, Krishna Prema, by chanting Krishna Nama. Chirada Dattam Nija Gupta Vittam Swaprema Nama Amrita Matyudaraha Apama Ramyo Vitatara Gauraha Krishno Janebhyastamaham Prapadye. Chirat adattam. For a long time, the Supreme Lord has not bestowed this special mercy upon us. What is that? Krishna Prema. Adattam. After Krishna concluded his pastimes, he went back to the spiritual world and there he started reflecting. Just like we have a reflection session after our class. So similarly, Krishna had a reflection session after completing his pastimes on the earth. I did so many pastimes. I gave mukti to so many people. I liberated so many demons and I protected so many devotees. I established dharma. I gave Gita. I gave Bhagavatam. I gave so many things. But I think I have not given Krishna prema. I have not given Vraja prema. So Krishna started doing some mananam and nididhyasanam there. Some special reflection session he had in Goloka Vrindavan. Then Krishna thought, I must give it now. Chirada dattam nijagupta vittam. This is nijagupta vittam. Gupta means very confidential, very secret. Vittam means treasure. Nijagupta vittam. So the Supreme Lord Krishna again descended in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this earthly planet to offer this secret treasure, secret hidden treasure, which he has not revealed to everyone so far. What is that? Swaprema, Krishna Prema. And how do we attain that treasure? What is the secret key to the secret treasure? So when the secret treasure, the number of that number lock is not revealed to everybody. Only few people are get access to that number, the key, password. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared here to give that password to everybody. Treasure is there, go and exploit it. Go and just plunder it, right? Number is revealed, open secret. We are just writing and sending SMSs, broadcast, putting in all statuses in Facebook status or Instagram status or WhatsApp status. Everywhere it's viral. This key, password to open the secret treasure is open for everyone. What is that? Nama. Svaprema nama amrita matyudaraha. Svaprema is the secret treasure. Nama is the password. Ati udaraha, because the Lord is extremely magnanimous, extremely benevolent, He has given this secret path to attain that secret treasure freely to everybody. Right? Svaprema nama amrita matyudaraha. But does it mean nama is only a password? Nama is only the key? Nama is not the treasure. After you attain prema, you will give up nama? No. You chant nama to attain prema. And after attain prema, you chant nama with prema. You chant the same holy names of Krishna with love, with affection. So here the means is the goal also. The means is to chant, somehow struggling, sleeping. somehow you chant and you come to a stage of continuously chanting with focus, with concentration. And once you attain Krishna Prema, the goal of Krishna Prema, continue to chant with love. Initially our chanting is without love. And when we develop that love, we chant with love. That's the goal. Svaprema nama amrita matyudaraha Apama ramyo vitatara gaurah Krishna janebhyastamaham prapadye Apama ramyo. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving this Krishna prema to even most pamara, most fallen personalities. Vitatara gaurah Krishna. He is gaurah Krishna. He is Krishna. But he is gaurah Krishna. Means he is Krishna, but he has this gaurah complexion, which he has taken from Gaurangi, Srimati Radharani, right? Coming back to our shloka, what do we get in Vrindavan? While explaining the meaning of one shloka, I go to some other shlokas. But this is an ocean of nectar. Whichever direction we swim, we'll find nectar only. So I explained that shloka, only two lines I think. Sri Krishna ikanta bhavam kvanu sakala jano vashyam apnotya yatnat Krishnasya ascharya seema param bhagavatah kutra leelartha murtihi kutratya krishna padam bhuja bhajana mahananda samrajya kashtha. Now let's focus on this third line. Kutratya krishna padam bhuja. Where else will you find such deep absorption in doing bhajan to the lotus feet of Krishna? Kutratya krishna padam bhuja bhajan mahananda samrajya kashta. When you are doing bhajan, when you are worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna, the ananda that you get is the ultimate limit of ananda. There is no other ananda beyond this. Kutratya krishna padam bhuja bhajan mahananda samrajya kashta. Mahananda samrajya kashta. So Mahananda means Ananda is bliss. Mahananda means greatest bliss. Mahananda Samrajya, it's a kingdom of greatest bliss. In this great kingdom Samrajya, there is only Mahananda, nothing else. And what is that kingdom of greatest bliss? That is bhajan unto Krishna's lotus feet. And you will get that opportunity only in Vrindavan. Kutratya krishna padam bhuja bhajana mahananda samrajya kashta bhratar vakshye rahasyam srunu sakalam idam shrila vrindavanetra. Bhratar, oh brother, sisters are also included. Oh brothers and sisters, bhratar vakshye rahasyam, I am going to reveal this secret to you. The author is saying vakshye rahasyam srunu, hear carefully. Sakalamidam Srila Vrindavanitra. All this you will get in Vrindavan only. What all you will get? First, Sri Krishna Ekanta Bhavam. Sri Krishna Ekanta Bhavam. Kvanu Sakala Jano Vashyama Apnotya Yatnath. You will easily get Ekanta Bhavam unto Krishna effortlessly in Vrindavan. Then you will get Krishna. Ekanta Bhavam to Krishna will give you Krishna. And who is that Krishna? Krishna is Parama Bhagavataha Kutra Leela Artha Murti. He is the object of all leelas. He is a performer of very enchanting pastimes. You will get that. You will get Ekanta Bhavam for Krishna. You will get Krishna himself. You will get entrance into Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's glorious activities in Vrindavan. Thirdly, you will be bestowed with a great kingdom of bliss, which is bhajan, which is an inspiration to perform bhajan unto Krishna's lotus feet. So we get opportunity to do bhajan, we get great ananda, we get Krishna, we get ekanta bhavam for Krishna, all are same ultimately. Basically an inspiration to get absorption in Krishna, we get in Vrindavan. That is the promise given to us. What's the time now? 8:10, okay. So these are some gifts that we get in Vrindavan, and this is the mood of entering in Vrindavan, and the mood of being in Vrindavan is what is taught to us by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. No attachment to any external glare or facilities, but just doing the service that is given to them by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also being non-envious, not hating anybody, not holding any grudges or negativity or hatred or envious feelings or jealousy towards any single living being in the entire creation. When we give even small space of maybe 1 square foot or 1/2 square foot in our heart to a bitter feeling or hatred or envy towards another Vaishnava, we will not get even small space in Vrindavan, even 1/2 square foot in Vrindavan. Right? Because there is something which is incompatible with the mode of Vrindavan here. Envy or hatred, grudge or negativity towards anybody. We cannot get entrance into Vrindavan. We cannot get entrance into Vaikuntha also. In Vaikuntha even birds are non-envious. In Vaikuntha even plants are non-envious. In Vrindavan, the gopas or gopis or anyone, yatra naisarga durvairaha sahasan mrgadeha, there is no envy even between a tiger and a deer also. That's the glory of Vrindavan. How can we even think of being in Vrindavan or staying in Vrindavan or coming to Vrindavan by holding any envy towards any Vaishnava? The very fact that I still have some bitter feelings or envy towards another devotee or another living entity, forget devotee, even if that living being is not a devotee also, still holding any envy towards that living being who is ultimately a child of Krishna, potentially a servant of Krishna, will block our entrance into Vrindavan. Physically we may be in Vrindavan, physically we may be doing Govardhan Parikram, but that envy within the heart will not allow us to get absorbed in the mode of Vrindavan. All the Goswamis are dhira dhira jana priyau priyakarau nirmatsarau pojitau dhira adhira jana priyo. Whether gentle people or ruffians, all of them love the Goswamis because nirmatsarau, they have no matsaryata. Pujitav, they are most worshipable. Those who are non-envious become worshipable. Those who have envy in the heart, forget worship. They cannot elevate themselves also. What to speak of receiving worship from somebody? Not that a devotee wants to receive worship, but the devotee wants to love everyone who is connected to Krishna. Is there anyone who is not connected to Krishna? At this moment, the material consciousness may be far, far away from Krishna, but spiritually everybody is a servant of Krishna, potentially. Everybody is an amsha of Krishna. Thus, a mature devotee sees the default connection between every single living being and Krishna and respects that living being for what the living being is. May not be now. In the current state of material consciousness, yes, this person may be far from Krishna, although Krishna is so near to him right within his heart. But potentially he is a pure devotee. At least he has the ability. Krishna has given him that empowerment and ability to be connected with him if he chooses to be. Right now that choice is not there, but ultimately devotee is nirmatsara. That non-envy is a qualification to understand Bhagavad Gita. Right? Why did Krishna reveal this confidential knowledge? Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshyam yanasuyave. You are anasuya, you have no asuya. Therefore, I am revealing this knowledge to you. You need to receive knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, we need to be non-envious. Even to understand Bhagavatam, we need to be non-envious. Dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam vidyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Bhagavatam says, Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam, only Nirmatsara, non-envious devotees can understand Bhagavatam, can understand Bhagavad Gita, can enter Vrindavan Dham. So, Goswamis are non-envious. So, envy, of course, pride. Yesterday, Burjan Prabhu spoke about that pride. Sachinandan Maharaj also spoke about that pride. Arrogance, giving the example of Indra. So, we need to consciously desire to get rid of these qualities of pride and envy and embrace the qualities of humility and gratitude to come to Vrindavan, not physically but internally. So these are some thoughts from Bhagavatam, from Chaitanya Charitamrita and few other Vaishnava literatures. I think last 15 minutes we can take some questions or reflections. Maharaj, you want to add, subtract, correct anything, Maharaj?
It's all right. It was wonderful how you...
Prabhu, you can take the mic.
Akuras.
Is it Prabhu? You have a cordless mic?
Yes, I don't want to. Is it easily there? Otherwise, I can speak loud. I'm Kirtan leader. I can have.
Maharaj, one way is to. You can come here and then speak.
I just want to say it's very nice to go to Akura for advices how to enter Vrindavan. What was his mindset? What was his feelings? And you can imagine he must have felt conflicted. He was aware that he came as a servant of Kamsa externally. Kamsa had sent him with a deadly mission. He wanted him to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura to
actually assassinate them. So, Akura was aware of this. He knew the plan of Kamsa, and he still went to Vrindavan to bring Krishna. For a moment, he thought in his mind, well, Krishna, he will immediately understand the plan. When I come with this chariot and bring him to Mathura he immediately knows that this is a bad plan from Kamsa. But at the same time, he also felt that since the Lord is within everyone's heart, he will surely understand. My dear devotees, this is important. I mean, we are also not always very good. But if we just bring into our heart, or if we connect in our heart to that part which is good, I mean, every one of you is worshipable for this one good thing, that is that you want Krishna, you search for Krishna. And if we can just do a little spiritual archaeology in our life, we can find this good thing in us. And therefore this reflection which we did yesterday, which was meant to help us get in contact with this good part, searching for Krishna. Krishna knows that, and he will love you for this, and he will be ready to ignore everything else. Krishna had no thought, a bad thought about Akura. Oh no, he comes as a servant of Kamsa. I mean, he should be my devotee. He should not team up with the demoniac plan. But Krishna understood, no, outwardly it may look like this, but inwardly I know, I understand. He wants only me. And my dear devotees, I can only again and again recommend, don't be lazy. Do your spiritual archaeology until you find that sincere part that will please Krishna, despite all the other things that are not yet perfect. And try to remain as much as possible, as long as possible, with that sincere part. Your Vrindavan stay will be blessed in multiple ways, like Gauranga Dasam Prabhu quoted this verse. You will get Ekanti Vava for Krishna. You will only want Krishna, Hare Krishna. You will become free from all the things that disturb you. But first you must really connect with that sincere part in you. You must not be lazy. You must dig deep. You must become a spiritual archaeologist. I think you have all done this already. I'm just saying because I'm invited to say something. Hope it was all right. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions or comments? Thank you so much, Maharaj, for highlighting the other part of that chapter also, where Akrura was fully confident that Krishna will not misunderstand him, although he is coming as Kamsa's representative to take Krishna away from Vrindavan. Still, although so many people may misunderstand us, Krishna will never misunderstand us. That confidence a devotee has. Thank you. Yes. Can the mic go to the devotees who raise their hands?
Perhaps they can come.
Okay. Yeah,
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. So in your class you mentioned that the highest form of worship for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is Vrajendranandan Krishna. But elsewhere also it's mentioned that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more easily accessible for the devotees. Like at this age of Kali, to please Krishna is very difficult. So we have to go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How can we understand?
Sei Gaura, Sei Krishna, Sei Jagannath. Yes. Yes, we have to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Elsewhere it is also mentioned that to access the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you need to first access the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu.
So we emphasize different things in different contexts, but we need to see the harmony in all these statements. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict with Kala Krishna Das, but Nityananda Prabhu is very merciful and engaged him in some service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict with Chota Haridas, but Nityananda Prabhu is praying for his for mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict with Prataparudra Maharaj, although he is a very exalted devotee, he says, no, I will not meet him, I will not meet him. But Nityananda Prabhu is just begging, Lord Chaitanya, please, please meet Prataparudra Maharaj. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is important to get Mahaprabhu's mercy. Mahaprabhu's mercy is important to get Krishna's mercy. Radharani's mercy is important to get Krishna's mercy. Yes, we have different statements in the scriptures which emphasize taking shelter of different divine personalities in different contexts, but they are not contradicting each other, they are in harmony with each other, so we need to understand the spirit behind it. When we are highlighting Krishna's mercy, we are not minimizing Mahaprabhu's mercy. They are same. Right? When we are highlighting Mahaprabhu's mercy, we are not belittling Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Same. They are all the different forms of the same Lord in different moods. Right? We need to connect with all of them, respect all of them. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. First of all, thank you only for this wonderful lecture. And your words are making me able to go deeper inside the direction in which you want to make me to go. Prabhuji, just now you said that we should not have feelings of hatred or enviousness towards any living being. And there are some living beings that are hateful and envious to all the other living beings. And I'm asking this just to get more detailed vision to what should be my perspective about those people or living beings who are, there are many cow killers and there are many such type of miscreants. How should I develop a mood to be lovable for them and to have a compassion for them? But this is the, please guide through.
To be compassionate even to butchers and sinful people, hateful people, is a very, very high Vaishnava quality. To develop that quality and even to develop some appreciation for that quality, we need to study Srimad Bhagavatam. What is Prahlad Maharaj saying? Naivo dvije para duratyaya vaitaranyaha tadvirya gaya namaha amrita magna chittaha soche tato vimukha chetasa indriyarthaha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. He is saying that I have absolutely no problem because I am so absorbed in hearing Harikatha, hearing your glories. Tadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. My mind is completely immersed. My chitta is totally immersed in your glorification. Magna chittaha. But I have one problem. So chetata, I am lamenting. For whom? Vimukha chetasa indriyartha. For indriyartha, for their indriya sukha, for their sense enjoyment, these people have become vimukha chetasa. They have turned their consciousness away from you. You are quoting cow killers or people who are troubling others. For their pleasure of their tongue, they are killing innocent animals. Their vimukha chetasa, indriyartha. And Prahlad Maharaj is lamenting for them. So chetato. Maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. Maya sukhaya, they're running behind illusory pleasures. Vimudhan, they're very foolish, grossly foolish. And Prahlad is praying for them, lamenting for them, feeling very sad about their condition. So when we meditate on this quality of Prahlad Maharaj, maybe we'll be able to imbibe that one little drop of that quality. However, lack of compassion in ourselves should make us more humble. Oh, I don't have this compassion like Prahlad Maharaj. Although his father tried to trouble him and kill him in 1,000 different ways, he is praying to Narasimhadev, please protect my father. Maybe I cannot pray like that. Probably. That should humble us. In such a humble state of mind, we should aspire for their spirit of compassion. And ultimately, we cannot be compassionate. We are just instruments of compassion. We are not originators of compassion. The compassion of Parampara, compassion of Prahlad Maharaj, compassion of great souls may come through us and it will manifest through us in a very small quantity. We'll just, when one drop of their compassion is too much for us. So, on a practical plane, we may not be able to love and embrace and associate with our kind at such a degree towards people that you have mentioned. But at least pray for them. You pray, Krishna, please take this person out of this ignorance. And not envying these people does not mean endorsing their activity. You have to hate their nonsensical activity. But you don't have to hate the soul. Soul is pure. You should hate the activity they are doing. You should not approve it at all. You should not endorse it. You should not support it. You should even sometimes, or many times, we have to verbally even speak that what this person is doing is not good. But we will be able to do that effectively and compassionately to the degree we are connected to Krishna. The scriptures are not recommending that hate this kind of butchers or bad people. They are recommending develop love for Krishna. And compassion towards these people will become a product of your Krishna consciousness. So we need to parallelly try to cultivate our relationship with Krishna. And those who are not connected to Krishna because of their poor consciousness are also objects of Krishna's grace. We'll be able to show mercy upon them only when we are sufficiently connected to Krishna. Otherwise, just hating them and criticizing them doesn't work. It's not sufficient. We should be able to do something about them. So you should be able to show some compassion on them. For that, you need to receive compassion of Krishna. So, for all practical purposes, focusing on our sadhana is of our primary importance. And as a product of our absorption in Krishna, we can be compassionate on those great souls. Does it? On those people. Does it make sense, Prabhu? Maharaj, you want to add anything or correct?
You express very, very beautifully, really, this part. Yes, we may not be so able to have such a degree of compassion as these high souls, but if we consider ourselves servants of the Parampara, we still may serve people. I think I always told this to me when I was distributing books in North Germany and snowstorms. It was so cold, the people were equally cold. And sometimes I was thinking of the point of going on, you know, it's just people are so rejecting us. I see a lot of us are looking at the microphone, really. It will still go on. But then I thought, well, I hope I want these books to go to the hands of the conditioned soul, so I may not be able to love these these butchers and I don't know who comes, all these violent people or Mayic people or Adamic people. But Prabhupada wants this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants this, Nityananda wants this. So in service to them, I also want this now. So this idea which you said, I found extremely practical, that we cannot be so compassionate, but we can be servants of those compassionate souls for whom we have high regard, we regard them. But you speak very nicely. I'm very happy to listen.
What's the time now? 8:36. I think we'll take breakfast now. Schedule will be delayed if we extend. 8:30 is the ending time, right? So we'll conclude, Maharaj.
Maybe Prashanta, could you be so kind to pick up the, or can you bring the microphone? Can you please tell where we meet?